Annie, first day of the week that we are permitted to come together for the purpose of worshiping our God is a wonderful and great day for Christians. But when you think about today and the things that have happened with respect to our eldership and the leadership of this congregation, in my estimation, and I hope and expect that you share this sentiment, this is a great day for us. The fact that we are able to appoint additional leadership speaks volumes about this congregation. It speaks volumes about the fact that we're not intending to stay stagnant and allow the work here to die. It speaks volumes about the fact that we can look out among ourselves and see men and evaluate their lives and determine that they are qualified for the task. And I am excited about the future of this congregation. Probably more than anybody else in this congregation, I get to spend a considerable amount of time with our leaders. And I have great confidence in them as a preacher. Admittedly, I have been in places, I won't say where, but where I have been concerned about that confidence. And I don't feel that way here. I appreciate the men that serve. I appreciate Jay tremendously. Jay and I spend a considerable amount of time talking in the mornings over text and email about various Bible subjects. And that relationship that I have with him in that regard has been very valuable to me. So my prayer, not only for Jay, but for our elders going forward, is, and I encourage you to do the same, is to pray that God would bless them with wisdom and good health so that they can lead us and guide us in the way that we must go, the way that God has demanded that we go. I want to spend a little bit of time. I don't know what a short sermon is, but I want to spend a little bit of time tonight doing something a little bit different than what I normally do. Typically, as a preacher, you tell people what you have studied. But I want to put three passages of Scripture, not because they're the only ones, but they are three that really speak to the matter that I want to put before you tonight. I want to put some passages before you, say a little bit about them, just to stoke your own study. And I want to encourage you to take these passages of Scripture and take them home and study them for yourselves, because they speak about the responsibility of Christians to the leaders that serve among them. They have a tremendous responsibility. It is reported, I obviously wasn't there, so I can't say with first-hand knowledge that this happened, but it comes from very reputable sources. It's reported that James A. Garfield, the 20th president of the United States, serving less than 4 months before he was assassinated as president, he was a member of the Lord's Church, and he was an elder in the Lord's Church. And it is reported that when Garfield relinquished his role and his position as an elder, that he said, "I resign today the highest office in the land to become the President of the United States." And I don't think he missed it as far as understanding his responsibility. There is no higher office or responsibility or work than to put yourself in the place of taking responsibility for the souls of people, and just to speak quite frankly, to care more about those souls than the actual people do sometimes. So we ought to pray diligently, and we ought to study diligently our responsibility to the ones who lead us. I aim to help us get started with that tonight. The first passage that I want to put before us is 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Peter writes here and he says, "The elders who are among you I exhort." I don't think it was Peter's intent just to speak to the elders at this particular juncture. He could have written a separate letter to them. But there's some benefit and some added value of all the Christians hearing this particular letter read in the public assembly. "The elders who are among you I exhort, I who am a fellow elder." It's interesting, just as a side note, that there is an apostle of Jesus Christ who is also serving as an elder. Again, demonstrating the weighty responsibility and the seriousness of this task. One not equal to being an elder, or an apostle. Not one that is completely different than being an apostle. Peter evidently served in both capacities. But he says, "I'm also a witness of the suffering of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that is to be revealed." And he says, "Shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly." Let me just give some things that I have thought about in this passage, and in hopes that you will go home and study and meditate upon these things more deeply in your own study. First, there's a huge responsibility that is unfolded here with regard to shepherding from within. Some people assume leadership positions where they are on the outside and they are over and they dictate downward. I've worked in organizational structures like that before, where everything came from on high. We had a base commander at Anderson Air Force Base on Guam. His name was George Diovanni, but he signed his name G-O-D, and he pretty much thought that he was. And every Monday morning, the organizations on base waited for what we called snowflakes. They were little pieces of white paper from a notepad on his desk that he would write some complaint or gripe that he had observed over the weekend, and he would send that down the chain of command, and when it landed in that organization, everybody was up in arms, and there was great chaos for the next day or so trying to solve that problem that came from on high. That's not the kind of leadership we have in the Lord's church. We have men among us leading us. They're not outside the trenches, they're in the trenches. They're not outside the fight and daily struggle, they're right in it with us. It's a completely different kind of leadership than what we might be used to, and it would behoove us to go and study about this kind of leadership, because it will help us appreciate their work much more. This passage says they do their work willingly. Cletus and Troy don't get a check. Jay won't start drawing a check just by virtue of the fact that he is now an elder. They do it willingly. And they do it not by compulsion. This is something that they have evaluated and they have determined, "I desire to do this work," understanding what it calls for from them. The takeaway from this passage is, as Peter said, that he is a partaker of the glory to be revealed. And that's the goal and the aim of every Christian. It should be. And the unique thing about an elder that serves from among us is it's their goal to make each one of us partakers of the glory to be revealed. You have responsibility for yourself. You have responsibility for your wife if you're married. You have responsibility for your children. If you have children, you have some degree of responsibility for your immediate influence in the lives of others. But an elder in the Lord's church has all of that, and then the responsibility of the souls of everyone in your family as well. And they do it willingly because they want to be partakers of the glory to be revealed, and they want you to partake in the same. The second passage, that's not everything there is about that passage. That's just to get you started studying it yourself, and I hope that you will. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 12 through 13. Paul writes to the church at Thessalonica, and he says, "We urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves." Not only is it the case that the elders shepherd from among us, but this passage tells us that we're to know those who labor among us. I know these men well. You might not. You might say, "Well, I don't know them." Well, guess what? Here is admonition from Scripture urging us to recognize them, to know them. And so the responsibility is on us too, to get to know them and their families. We have a responsibility to know them. You can't ignore the leadership in the Lord's church. We can't live and work in spite of them. We have to recognize them because they are over us in the Lord, and they admonish us. We're to esteem them very highly, he says. Here are a few things just to stoke your personal study. I already mentioned we have the responsibility to know them, but also we must respond to their admonishment. When they admonish us, we have scriptural obligation to respond to that admonishment in whatever way is appropriate. Paul says we must esteem them very highly for their work's sake. There have been people in my military career who, quite frankly, I didn't think should be in the uniform wearing the rank that they are wearing. They weren't good at their job, and they didn't deserve the authority and the degree of control that they did. And sometimes they made a mess of what they were trying to do. But there was one thing about that situation that I knew and understood. They were in a position that demanded my respect. It demanded that I esteem them highly for their position's sake. Men who serve as elders are in that capacity, and they are over us, and we're admonished to esteem them and to esteem them very highly because of the work that they do. The takeaway of this is Paul says that we're to be at peace among ourselves. Peace. As we submit to and we follow their leadership. Again, that's not all that's in this passage. There is much, much more there. But read it, and read it again, and study it, and ask yourself, how does this apply to me as I think about my relationship with those who lead as they serve among us? The third passage is Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. Hebrews 13, verse 17. Obey those who rule over you, and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls. As they who must give an account, let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. This third admonition that I put before us, in the third passage that I encourage you to study and read and make personal application of, is one that says we're to obey those who rule over us. Our obedience is commanded. There's no way around that. It is blatantly clear in this passage. I have heard people say that the only authority that eldership has is in example. That's not true. The example that they set before us is important. And it's imperative that they set a good example before us. But that's not the limit and the scope of their authority. Their authority is such that we're commanded to obey them. And obey means obey, just as the Bible says. Our submission is commanded because they watch for our souls. They don't command us just for the sake of commanding us. And they don't seek our obedience just for the sake of having someone to obey them. They do it because they watch for souls. Again, I can't help but hearken back to military environment. When I was at Langley Air Force Base, the base commander was a colonel, a Fulberg colonel. And so he wore on his shoulder that insignia demonstrating his rank, and he was the authority on that particular installation. But there was a point of time at night that he would go to bed. And patrolling the streets of that base were individuals like myself, who wore a badge. And at the top of that badge was the same eagle that was on his shoulder. And the authority that we bore as law enforcement officials on that base was the equivalent of the authority that he exercised over that base. We functioned in that capacity and exercised the same authority, even though we weren't him in person. We did that under his leadership. Jesus Christ is the head of the church. But in his divine wisdom and his foresight and knowing, without Joey Davis's input and opinion, and without your input and opinion, Jesus Christ knows what's best for his church. And in his divine wisdom, he said, elders will shepherd. They will oversee, and the people of each local congregation will obey them. And so they function under the chief shepherd as our immediate shepherds, with the authority given to them by him to work to save our souls. One other thing in this passage that I want to point out to us for your consideration as you study it on your own. He says that overseeing us should bring joy and not grief. If my participation, if my involvement in the local congregation is such that it brings grief, and in particular, if it brings grief to the leadership of the congregation, I owe it to myself and them to do some self-evaluation, to figure out why I am bringing grief. Because, and this is why it's so important, look at what the Hebrews writer says. If it is the case that my involvement brings grief rather than joy, it doesn't say that will be unprofitable for them. It says it'll be unprofitable for me. So I have a vested interest in knowing why in any situation I can't work cooperatively and submissively with the eldership that has oversight over me. Because if it's this way, that's unprofitable for me. The elders shepherd from among us. We are to know those who labor among us, and we're to obey them because they have the rule over us. Glory be to God for His wisdom, for His design for our salvation, for His organization of the body of Christ and the beauty of the local congregation. What a mess it would be if there was a pope or some archbishop over the DFW area who was responsible for the souls of all Christians. How in the world could a man on his own shepherd and oversee people like that? Glory be to God for His design for the local church to put the leadership and the people responsible for our well-being right here among us. I love the men that we have dearly, and I appreciate them for their work, and I appreciate them for their willingness to do this. And I hope and pray that that will always be the sentiment of the members of this congregation. I encourage us, brethren, to study these passages, to know our responsibility, and to lift their hands high and support them in the work that they have going forward in the days ahead. Will you bow with me? Holy Father in heaven, we rejoice today, not only, Father, for the privilege that we have of worshiping You, especially, Father, that is in our minds and our hearts, and an opportunity and privilege for which we are dearly grateful. But as pertains to this local congregation, Father, today we are grateful for the progress that has been made as a congregation and our ability to add to our leadership. Father, we pray for these men. We pray, Father, that You would bless them with wisdom, that You would bless them with good health. We pray, Father, that they would always be focused on keeping us squarely planted with the gospel of Your Son, that they would never veer to the left nor to the right, that they would take their job seriously, and that they would watch over us. And, Father, that we would always have the mind and the attitude to lift up their hands, to support them, and to submit to their leadership, understanding the grave responsibility that they have. Pray that You would bless us as a congregation, that anything we do would be good to Your glory, and that we would never do anything that would harm or hurt the local church or the body of Christ or Your holy name. We thank You for Your love and for every blessing that we have through Your Son. It's in His name that we pray. Amen. Tonight, as we bring this service to a close, we want to be mindful of the fact that there may be one here who needs to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ through faith, repentance, confession, and baptism in water for the remission of your sins. You can become a child of God even tonight. We're going to sing a song to encourage. If that's your need, if you have any need that we can assist you with at all, won't you come as we stand and sing?